This episode is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs. You take a short quiz and answer questions about your diet, lifestyle, fitness, and health goals, and Care Of puts together a personalized plan just for you. Give yourself support this season with a boost, whether you're looking for energy, better sleep, to maintain stress, or something else to help you feel your healthiest. Their online quiz lets you know exactly what you need. You answer easy questions like, how much sleep are you getting? Are you looking for more energy? Do you need something to help support weight management or healthy hair, skin, and nails? It gets really personalized. It can be really hard to know what vitamins or supplements you should be taking, but Care Of makes it easy to find out what you specifically need to be your healthiest. The individually wrapped vitamin packs are now made from compostable plant-based film that meet the same safety standards, so your vitamins are kept fresh while now being better for the environment. I am a longtime Care Of customer. It makes it really easy for me to take my vitamins. I don't reach into the medicine cabinet and pull out a bunch of different bottles and shake one tablet out for each one. I just take one little packet. I read the cute little quip on the outside, personalized just for me. It says, "Hi, Stacy," and I take my vitamins. Makes it really easy, and it makes it easy for me to take my vitamins every day instead of just when I think about it. They are offering 25% off your first Care Of order for Very Pink listeners. Just go to takecareof.com and enter promo code VERYPINK. That's takecareof.com and enter promo code VERYPINK for 25% off your first Care Of order. And we'll have a link and the coupon code in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 149. If you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 149, where we will put links and pictures and whatever we end up talking about. That's where it will all be. How are you, Casey?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's the weather's warming up. I'm working on my next video shoot. I'm busy and happy and everything's good. My mostly I'm happy because I say the weather's warming up, which means my garden is doing things and that makes me happy.
And you don't have dogs ruining the plants or anything?
Well, no. You know, one of the dangers of putting in this new garden bed that I put in is that it's along the fence. And if my neighbors ever have like dogs visiting, then the dogs are in the backyard and then Elby wants to run the fence to get the other dog's attention. But so far, the neighbors have not had any dog visitors and Elby has not tried to run the fence. And if he starts doing it, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But especially because I have all that baby jasmine planted right next to the fence.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm so delighted with gardening. And I know that people listening already know this. I'm just a new gardener. But it is so similar to knitting in the work and the patience and everything else. I see why so many knitters garden. You know, we did a poll like years ago.
We did.
Remember? We did a poll like, do you knit in the summer or do you knit year round?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I think your results for that poll were that a lot of people don't knit nearly as much because gardening takes up their free time.
Yeah.
And now I understand why.
Yeah.
I'm all part of that now.
Oh, good.
Good.
Oh, I'm not.
No, I'll get you there. I don't know. Is it my job to help you, to get you into gardening? Well, you're raising boys.
Yeah.
I'm just raising Star Jasmine and Roses and Dogs. You have humans. Well, this episode is chock full of magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers. Are you ready to read some questions, see what we can do?
I am.
Okay.
Are you ready to answer?
Usually I am, yes.
All right. Hi, Stacy. Thank you so much for your tutorials. I have found them extremely useful over the years. I found this lovely cable and lace pattern, but it's only the chart. I have no clue how many stitches to cast on because I know the pattern repeat 19 stitches. I do not know the plus number, for example. I do not know if the pattern should be 19 stitches plus 4. I thought you may have a video with math for knitters, how I can calculate the number of stitches based on a chart. Do you have such a video, or may you provide more information on how I can figure this out? Many thanks, Lily.
Hi, Lily. This is a good question. And when you're knitting lace or cable or something, a lot of times it will say cast on X number of stitches plus Y number of stitches. And that has to do with the way that the chart is, the way the lace or cable pattern works, or the edge stitches, or it can be different things. But if you are seeing a chart and the chart is one solid thing and it doesn't have a box inside the chart with extra stitches that are sticking out on either side, then you don't have a plus number. It's just the 19 stitches. And you can cast on any multiple of the 19 stitches and have that work, unless you want to add your own border to the outside of it, of course. So in a chart, you'll see the chart and there's 19 stitches. Sometimes you'll see a big box around, say, 15 of those stitches. So it'll be cast on a multiple of 15 stitches plus 4. That's how you would know. And I don't have a video on this because it's really, really specific to different patterns. It doesn't always apply. If you have the opportunity to contact the designer of this chart directly and ask them more about their chart, I think that would be your best bet.
Okay, hello ladies. I'm writing this email as I'm listening to your podcast, commuting on the train to work, working on my knitting. That's some multitasking there.
Yeah, it is.
I'm at a point where I have 450 stitches on my needles, and I just noticed I made a 3-stitch error in the pattern 2 rows back. It's a self-contained error, meaning it hasn't thrown off the pattern of the entire bad row. It's just a user error on one repeat of the chart. I can't bring myself to tink back over 900 stitches. Is there an easy way of laddering down to color on color work, picking up the floats to correct the 3 stitches, or am I cheating myself? Oh, wait. Or am I cheating if I just cover those 3 stitches up with duplicate stitch when I've completed the project, which, for the record, is taking me forever? Thanks for your help and for all of the great things I'm learning from the podcast. Ellen from Hastings-on-Hudson, New York.
Hi, Ellen. I just had a little tiny daydream nightmare thinking about 450 stitches and tinking back 900 stitches to fix something. You can absolutely, if it's stocking up, you can easily drop that down and fix those stitches, because we're not talking about dropping down tons of rows. You're talking about just dropping down a couple of rows, and you can get a crochet hook and just grab the color you need to just correct that column. And I'll link to my videos on doing this, on correcting a drop stitch or deliberately dropping a stitch to correct something. But I'm going to say, I bet Casey's going to agree with me on this. Duplicate stitch over it. Just duplicate stitch over it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't risk dropping things off the needle. And we're talking about so many stitches there and so much work going into this project. Just after, you know, you might even finish the project and not even notice where you made that mistake, and you're unable to find it when you're finished.
Right.
And then you wouldn't even have to duplicate stitch over it.
Yeah.
I knew you'd agree with me on this case.
Of course I would.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering what she's knitting, if it's Fair Isle or color work and 450 stitches.
I don't know. A tiny, like a fingering weight sweater or something?
Fingering weight sweater or a blanket, or I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. She'll have to update us.
She'll have to update us.
Okay. Hello, ladies and puppies. You two are great at Ravelry, and I'm hoping that you can help me. I've been following the post about Nakia's Infinity Scarf. I don't know anything about this.
This is the one from that. I thought you would for sure know it. This is the one, the scarf that Gal wore in some superhero movie.
Oh. It's from Black Panther.
Okay.
Sorry. Is there a way to somehow link someone's notes to the pattern? I noticed that I cannot save the notes to my library, and I'm afraid that by the time I get around to actually knitting this, I will not remember about those notes. A fan for life, Cindy from McMurray, Pennsylvania, just south of Pittsburgh. I think there is.
Yeah, actually, this is a question for Casey. Saving someone else's notes. You want me to keep talking for a minute? Okay, well, I knew that you would know this scarf because you have your husband, mm-hmm, and your boys and your family who are super into superhero movies.
Yes.
I knew you would know
only
this.
Marvel.
Only Oh, is there FYI. Is that a thing? Okay. Okay. But I also know that there was a lot of buzz about this pattern when it first came out because yes. the designer designed this great thing that people wanted to knit and it's so gorgeous. And then the actual pattern came out and everyone's like, holy cow, this is so hard. And
yeah,
I think
part of it was done on a knitting machine too or something.
I think that's entirely possible. Yeah. And yeah. We talked about it when it first came out because there was so yeah. much buzz about it. But it sounds like somebody has good notes to this pattern that Cindy wants to add to her project page for the notes. So she, when she actually does start knitting it, she can easily refer to these notes. If depending on how you answer, I have a plan B answer. But do you have something, Case?
You can click on their project and then you can save in favorites. So then once you're in your so let's say I'm looking at your version of this pattern.
Yeah.
And it's looking at your project. So you should click on you.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing your project. And so then there's a little option to save in favorites. And so you can always create, and then you can create a folder in favorites regarding that project.
Okay. That's one way to do it. Yeah. That does make sense. I think I would probably just go in, copy, you know, highlight the text and copy the notes and then paste them into my project page. So I have them all there. And then like if someone's going to actually see those notes, I would say these are notes copied from so-and-so's page. Or I would just copy the link to that person's page and put it in my project notes so that I'll remember to jump over there. But there's always a chance that someone will delete those notes or something. So if you really want them, it's probably a good idea to copy them, but also give them credit because other people can read your notes. And,
correct.
Give them credit.
That works.
Yeah. A couple ways.
I've seen people do that. Like I copied so-and-so's recommendations on this pattern or whatever.
Oh yeah. I see that all the time where people say I'm knitting this pattern, but I used so-and-so's modifications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question. Hi ladies. I look forward to your podcast each week and I look forward to my drive home from work knowing I have the two of you for company.
Aww.
I'm hoping you can help me when it comes to steeking. I watched Stacy's video, understood this concept and gave it a go with my husband looking at me in horror as I took scissors to my knitting, only to find my worst nightmare come true. It started to fall apart. Most of it held together, but in the one part of my fair isle, it now has holes next to the crochet chains and loose ends ready to unravel. How can this have happened and can it be saved? The only thing I can think is that I didn't get my floats right, but then the steeking worked for the majority of it. Any ideas? Thank you, Sarah from Swindon, England.
Hi, Sarah. It seems like we answered a question similar to this a couple of months ago. The most important thing before you cut into your knitting is the yarn that you're using. It has to be sticky, sticky wool that is always going to stick to itself. You know, it's not super soft wool like a soft, soft merino. It's a sticky wool. And once you have a sticky wool, you don't have to worry about it unraveling. Even if one little thread kind of sticks out a little bit, the rest of it's going to be solid. It's not going to come unraveled. Casey, I know you just did this recently. You had a successful steeking. Oh, actually, I better explain. Steeking is a technique that we use when you want to do a color work cardigan. And it's easier to knit color work in the round and never do any purl rows with color work. So you knit it in a big tube, like a pullover, and then you take scissors to the front of it to cut up the front to make a cardigan. The yarn is the most important thing, the sticky yarn. But as far as Sarah's issue here goes, really the best thing that I can recommend is machine sewing. Just inside of where the unraveling is happening, do a line of machine sewing on both sides of the cut. That is your best way to keep this from unraveling anymore. And yeah, you just have the most important thing is to choose the right yarn for steeking. And if you're following a pattern, use the yarn that the pattern designer used, and then you will have the same results that they had with their steek. Do you have any, as a recent steeker, do you have any advice for Sarah?
Not really. Not any more than you just gave.
Okay.
The steeking that I did was super sticky, thick wool that wasn't going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. Right. That's what you want. It's a lot less scary when you know that your yarn's going to do the work for you and you're not going to be scrambling to save these stitches.
Okay, next question. Praise. Love the podcast, the videos, the patterns, love it all. Suggestion, you have an index of the technique videos. How about an index for the questions of answered in interviews that are in the podcast?
Did you put this question in here, Casey?
What?
Did you put this question in here?
No. Just a text page with the questions that links to the podcast. Maybe start with going forward and then adding past episodes as time goes on. Hope this makes sense from my happy long-term follower in Kansas, Laura.
Well, Casey, this is something that
this is Casey's my to-do list that haunts me.
This is something Casey's wanted for a long time.
Yes.
A searchable index of the questions we answer. So, Laura, thank you for that suggestion. Casey's on it.
I'm working on it.
She's working on it in all her free time.
Don't look for it anytime soon, but we may have a big surprise when it does happen.
Oh, really? It'll be a surprise to me, too, because I'm not sure what you're talking about.
No, you know what the surprise is, like what I just put on hold for the summer?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I do know. I do know. Okay.
Okay. Hey, Stacey and Casey, I'm excited every Friday when the little red dot marks that there's a new podcast from you. Keep up the good work. I live in Denmark, and here interchangeable circular needles are also a big hit. But the thing is, it's Knit Pro and not Knitter's Pride that are available. When we look at both webpages, the sites look almost identical, and they both link to the other company, which makes us believe that they are one and the same. This leads me to my question. My boyfriend and I have tried researching if it's possible to use Knitter's Pride needles on Knit Pro wires, but no luck. Do you know if they use the same threading? Can they be used together? I'm really eyeing the Knitter's Pride needles because the different sizes have different colors, and therefore it's easier to spot which size the needle has, and the Knit Pro needles all have the same color. Hopefully you can provide this answer for me. Kind regards, Sif.
Hi, Sif. Yeah, Sif, I guess. I've never seen that name before.
Me neither.
It might be short for something. Okay, Sif. Then, from everything I understand, and I have worked with Knitter's Pride and Knit Pro on different things over the years, for everything I understand about their needles, Knit Pro and Knitter's Pride are exactly the same. So you can take a Knitter's Pride needle and a Knit Pro cord and put them together. The threading is the same. There's some reason that North America has the name Knitter's Pride and the rest of the world uses Knit Pro. I'm not sure why that is. But they're exactly the same product. And Sif says that you want to get Knitter's Pride needles because the different sizes have different colors. Depending on what needles you're getting, that's how different sizes have different colors. Like, I know the needles that I'm using right now are Knitter's Pride Ginger, and they're all the same color, but Knitter's Pride Dreams have different colors for the different sizes. So it's not something different between Knitter's Pride and Knit Pro, the two company names. It's just the product within that company that has the different features, you know, the different materials used, the different colors, whatever. Zing needles also, they have aluminum needles that are really nice that are different colors. But they're the same thing, I think. It's exactly the same thing. Same product, different name. That's it.
I've even used, the Leica? How do you say it?
It looks like Leica.
I've even used those wires on Knitter's Pride, I think. I've got them all mixed up now.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
It's possible. I've never tried it. The Leica needles have really, or Leica needles have really nice cords. The new Knitter's Pride Knit Pro cords are more like the Leica needle cords. They're a little bendier.
Mm-hmm. It's like a different quality of rubber or whatever it is, plastic.
Still slick though, but not, yeah.
Okay. Do we have time for one more? Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I love your website and podcast, and I've heard mentioned several times how a lot of knitters hate to purl. Why is that? I'm an English-style knitter, and I throw my yarn, and in my case, purling is actually easier and quicker for me than the knit stitch. It seems that I don't have as far a reach to get the yarn over the needle when I purl. I guess what I'm wondering is, why is purling such a drudgery to some? Do either of you find it more difficult? Thanks so much, Jennifer from Brockport, New York.
Hi, Jennifer. I don't know why people hate purling so much. I mean, I prefer knitting. I can knit faster than I can purl. I mean, we're talking about tiny fractions of a second, you know, per stitch. Right. But do you have a preference, Casey?
I mean, I like to knit if I can knit in the round most.
Yeah.
But I would choose that. But I don't know. I think it's just you don't purl as often, so maybe it's not as comfortable.
Maybe. I don't know. And I think it kind of depends on the type of knitting that you do. You know, if you're a thrower, it is maybe a little bit more work than if you're a continental knitter. I don't know. But it's funny because I know that people in Europe don't understand why Americans don't like purling. And I'm generalizing here, but this is the feedback that I've gotten over the years. People in Europe, mostly continental knitters, don't mind purling so much. Americans do mind purling. And there are these obstacles that I run up against, and Jennifer brings it up, and I'm stepping up on my soapbox right now, because there are these things that people decide that they don't like about knitting that they don't ever want to do. And if we're talking about something like steeking, okay, that's a big one. You don't ever have to steek. That's a big thing that you don't ever have to do. You just avoid patterns that involve cutting your knitting after you finish it, which is kind of terrifying. But purling is a big part of knitting. And if you enjoy the craft, it's kind of a big part of it that you can't just skip over. Okay, so I realize there are people who don't like purling, and I get emails from people who don't like purling and they want me to rewrite a pattern for them so they don't ever have to purl in it. And it's like, well, you know, I'm not gonna do that, you know. But then I get the people who don't like double pointed needles. And so that's part of my life's mission, is to get people to try double pointed needles. They're not so bad. They're actually kind of great. And they give you options for doing things different things in an easier way than you would with magic loop or other methods. And I'm trying to get people to be more open-minded. And I think people also get in their own heads. I don't like purling. Okay. So that's a fact that they live with. I don't like DPNs. And that's a fact that they live with. But if they just give it a try, you know, expand your horizons in this craft that you already know that you like, and maybe it's not so bad. Because you've been very open-minded over the time we've known each other. So like, you were not a sock knitter at one point, remember?
Yeah, I know. It took me like a year to finish second sock.
But now you knit socks.
Now I knit socks.
And you like it.
Well, and it was part of it was getting the right tools, because...
Oh, right. Oh, that's a good that point, Casey.
Getting nice needles.
Right.
Nicer yarn. Yarn that's exciting because a new stripe color is coming up.
Right. And it's a little more, because your brain likes active thinking.
Feedback.
Yes. And for me, my hands just want to go, right? And I don't need to have a lace pattern or a cable pattern. I just like knitting, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's relaxing for me. But like a stripe is something, the yarn automatically changing color without you doing anything. That's a little more excitement for you when you're knitting a pair of socks, right?
Yeah. Because I can be like, oh, I just want to get to the purple or whatever.
It's a goal.
I'm very deadline oriented. I'm very like...
You are.
I need a carrot to work toward. I'm just like a horse.
But you've been really open-minded about, you know, you did think that you didn't like knitting socks, and then you tried knitting socks and you decided you like knitting socks. I just want people to have an open mind about these things and not decide, oh, you know, there actually is a whole book. And I can't think of who wrote this book. There's a whole book, like it's called The Knit Stitch or something, where there are all kinds of patterns where you never have to purl a single stitch. People just like that. We are out of time now, Casey. So if people want to find you online?
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. And if you want to find me online, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And that is it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.